Welcome to a brand new Hotspurs podcast. It is Tuesday, the 10th of March. How are you doing, Cole?
Yeah, doing good, mate. Doing good.
Right, so let's get straight into it then. Football podcast. Chelsea in the cup final. Thoughts on that for the day?
Yeah.
From Northern Ireland?
Well, we haven't had a show, you know, since it. So obviously it's a good place to start. Obviously I got my tickets and got over to the game. To be honest with you, Steve, had a fantastic day. You know, forget about the result. You know, as you always say, it's about getting the cup finals, getting to Wembley. You know, enjoying that whole experience. And to be honest with you, we had a fantastic day. Obviously we had an early flight on Sunday morning, so we bit hectic hoping to get to Wembley in time, and got there around about 1:30 or so. And you know, enjoyed the whole build-up, walking up Wembley Way. You know, it's just amazing, the crowds. You know, it's just something, you know, people need to try and experience, especially after the game, you know, which is absolute madness. But no, we had a great day. Unfortunately, didn't get to meet yourselves. We couldn't find the bar that you were in.
Bar we were supposed to meet in, it was refurbished for some reason.
Yeah,
and so we went round the corner, but this huge like a hall, it was kind of like a school hall, but they had, you know, bars everywhere, so it was no problem getting some beers. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, but to say, you know, I flew over with Mark Nelson, who's a big listener to the show, and his friend Bran, and obviously we met the Spurs poet, you know, before the game, and a few other guys, Darren Sheen and things. But say we couldn't meet yourselves, but you know, we had a good day. Bit of banter, you know, going up Wembley Way, going up round, noticed a couple of fights as well, which was quite interesting.
Yeah,
a few Chelsea.
That was one of them was sort of sent around, wasn't it? But I just want to talk about, you know, obviously on the tube and walking up Wembley Way. It was all Spurs, wasn't it? Do you notice?
Definitely. Like, we actually
just saying that, but it was literally the Spurs the whole way.
We flew into Gatwick and got the train to Victoria. Now, unfortunately, which we didn't realise, we got into Victoria and it was just Arsenal everywhere, because obviously they were playing at 2:00.
Yeah.
So we were surrounded by Arsenal fans. But as you say, after that there, it was Spurs the whole way. Even Wembley Way for me felt like it was all Spurs. And we headed into the ground about 3:30. But the atmosphere walking up Wembley Way, and kind of the Spurs fans were singing. Everybody was having even at the turnstiles where you're going into the ground with your ticket, every block, you know, was singing. And great, you know, you walk into that stadium and it's out of this world. You know, I had fantastic seats. I was down near the corner flag.
Yeah.
Obviously we had all our flags on the, you know, on the seats and all. So no, brilliant. And I just thought on the day the Spurs fans, you know, they sang their hearts out. Didn't hear one peep from Chelsea until they scored, and even after that, there didn't hear much from them either.
Just remember Diego. That's the only thing.
That's all. But you know, to go into the game, then, you know, obviously the result wasn't for us. But on the day, I don't know how you felt, but I just felt it was never going to happen for us. It just didn't seem to be that we had that sort of killer instinct or that bit of luck. You know, obviously, if Eriksen's goal, you know, shot that hit the crossbar had went in, it might have been a different game. But I always sort of felt that Chelsea were just sitting there containing us. And I did sort of feel, if needed, they possibly could have went up another gear or two on the day. But, you know, one thing that we noticed, they've got class players, and I know they're hateful players, but Diego Costa, an absolute menace, you know, a nightmare to try and mark. I actually watched him for a good 4 or 5 minutes. And the guy just never stops. He's always running along the back four. He's very clever in how he gets free kicks. And he was dangerous. And I think on the day, just a couple of class players from their end of things just sort of stood out above our boys. But, you know, I was disappointed at the end, but still really, really enjoyed it, Steve. And sorry, I know I'll let you get on to your bit. You know, that walk down Wembley Way after, there was like, what, 90,000 people walking down there. Unbelievable experience. But you know what? The Spurs fans sang the whole way down to that tube station, and it was fantastic. Really, really enjoyed it. And I think as a Spurs fan, we all just enjoyed the occasion. Disappointed, but we took a lot of positives out of it as well.
Yeah, I did. Well, it's exactly the same. I would say exactly the same. Obviously, about going to Wembley, so excited for, you know, since probably we beat Newcastle because, you know, Sheffield United was we were going to do it the Spurs way, whatever. It's going to be a tight one, but I felt that we were going to get there. So I've been excited ever since. I've said many times that going to Wembley for me is the pinnacle of supporting Tottenham. You know, where we are as a club. I know other people, you know, want to get into that top four, but, you know, realistically, we've only got there once. And, you know, for me, it's about going to Wembley, and the League Cup is our best way to get there. And do you want to go there next year, Colin?
Yeah, definitely. 100%.
Me too. So can we just straight away say that let's make it a priority again next year as well? Because what is it? 5 games to get there, 6 games, something like that. Yeah. You know, most teams play a second string. You know, and for me, the Chelsea game was fantastic. The Arsenal game was fantastic. You know, and you get sort of an hour, maybe hour and a half, 2 hours before that. I mean, you have a lot longer because you've got to travel over from Northern Ireland. And, you know, fantastic game, obviously, but the actual build-up is terrific for those games. But the Wembley day is weeks before. You know, excited about it weeks before, you know, on the Friday, you know, I work in a school and I'm playing Spurs are on their way to Wembley whenever the kids coming in and out of my classroom. You know, it's absolutely brilliant and so excited. Couldn't sleep a wink that night. And the whole of Saturday just paced around, basically, you know, trying to pass the time, looking at the clock, you know, when can I go to bed? You know, it's like bloody Christmas Day the next day. And it was, you know, so went there. And I just had a brilliant day, met a load of great mates who I haven't seen for years as well, who got in touch. So that was really, really good. And, it, you know, got in and when we hit the bar, it was like, oh, here we go again. And I actually was very close to the Chelsea fans and I stood up and I just went, luck, what? You know, I was trying to go lucky, like I was, you know, and they were sort of going, sit down. I was like, that's all right, I'll sit down, but you're so lucky. And then, yeah, so we basically lost the cup final by hitting the bar and 2 deflected goals. And like I always say, you know, next time we're in a cup final, it would be quite nice if we win by 2 deflected goals. You know, and the other team hit the bar. That would be lovely. So that was good. Yeah, I thought we didn't play as well as people are saying we did play. And I was a bit disappointed. I'm not sure with Pochettino's substitutions a lot of the time. You know, and the big thing for me is preparation. We obviously with the Europa, you know, there's just no way that we can prepare for a cup final. You know, when Mourinho says things like, we won because of our strategy, what does that mean? You know, read between the lines. When he's talking about strategy, he's talking about he spent a week analysing, looking at it. We know he does that. You know, instead, what we were doing was we were in Italy and we were preparing for that game and we were playing that game. You know, I'm sure it was in the back of Pochettino's mind thinking, how are we going to do the Chelsea? But we didn't start till Saturday morning because they have the Friday off. Or I know some people are going to say, oh, no, we trained on the Friday out there. But, you know, players are tired. So, you know, and like I say, it's not the fact that it's not squad rotation. It's not the fact that half the players didn't play. It's preparation. So, and I'm just going to say this. Very quickly, next year, if we qualify for Europa, which I think we will, I don't think we can't, because unless we finish, I think, 8th or even maybe 9th, I think with the way that, you know, these you know, clubs are winning these competitions, I think, you know, I see almost an inevitability. You know, we either make a choice, whether it's the league or the Europa, because what else can I say apart from look at statistics? Not just us, all the sides go to Europe. They play on the Thursday. They're not so good on the Sunday. People offer different reasons, this reason, that reason. What I think is that if you go to Finland to some you know, fishing village in Finland to play a game on a Thursday. You're not back until late on Friday, and then you've got to prepare on the Saturday for the game. And a couple of things to do with that. Ryan Mason earlier in the season when we were playing Stoke said, well, I know we haven't prepared too much, but that's all right because we're playing Stoke and we've got to worry about us, not about Stoke, which is completely the wrong attitude. In this day and age, you've got to worry about every side. And I know it's probably just a throwaway flippant comment, but you know there's something in that. So next year, you know, we either take the Europa seriously and then let the league, you know, fade, don't worry about the league, or you go for the league and you just take the kids to Europa. And what I mean by that, or the B side, and what I mean by that is Pochettino stays at home. You know, you take the reserve coach goes out to Liechtenstein or whoever we're playing, because how many points have we lost? You know, and then playing on the Sunday for whatever reason. Yeah. It's just not worked. So people come back at me and go, yeah, but this, that, and the other. Well, the facts are there. It hasn't worked, and it hasn't worked for the last 3 years. So we've got to do something. We've got to have a solution. And people say, oh, well, why don't we do this? Why don't we do that? And we've tried that. We've tried all those different things. What do you think?
I think the problem is, you know, that we're always... There's so many games that have to be played in Europa as well, you know, to get to that stage. And I agree. I think next year, I think we are going to be in it again. And I know I've heard a few other people say things, you know, and it's got to be, in my eyes, that it's the reserve team that goes. And it just goes the whole time. But, you know, whether that's the kids or a few fringe players that have to go, I agree. I think so. I think there's going to be a big summer ahead here for Pochettino, and he's got to, you know, he'll bring in his own players, hopefully, and I think we'll be a lot stronger. I'm really looking forward to the summer, actually, to see what happens. But, you know, I think next year's the time where we really want to try and push, you know, to get into the top four, possibly win the League Cup, you know, get to Wembley again. The FA Cup was there for grabs this year as well. Unfortunately, we went out that day that all the big boys went out.
Yeah.
But, you know, we just have to wait and see. But, you know, one you know, to move on, Steve, the big thing was the reaction for the next two games.
Yeah.
Because I know when we actually stayed up in Tottenham, we headed back up there after and with a few beers and we were chatting. And
I've just before we get into those two, because I know that people are probably shouting down the whatever they're listening to going, what about this? What about that? So I just got to address those couple of comments as well. Sorry, mate. The one about what about Wednesday and Saturday for teams in the Champions League? Well, I think that's down to motivation. I think they, you know, these huge games at Bernabeu or even at Schalke or even at, you know, some of these other huge sides, they go there, they play that game, they come back and then they play the massive game on the Saturday. For us, I think there's a huge motivational thing about and the stigma almost of playing in Europa and then playing on a Sunday, particularly when you've got like this season, we played a game against somebody on the Sunday at the same time Arsenal and Chelsea was on telly. Yeah. So, you know, as a professional footballer, I'd be looking at it and going, wait there. That fella that I'm better than in the Belgian side has gone and played at the Bernabeu on Wednesday. He's now on telly or whatever. And he's now on telly on the Sunday. And I've gone to Lithuania and played some in front of 2,000 fans. And now I'm playing against Stoke and we're losing 1-0. You know, it's a whole motivational thing as well. You know, there's lots of things to address, and I know all the arguments, and people throw them at me. One final point on it, I just think it's kind of like, do we actually want to achieve something now? Or do we just want to be pretty good in the league, pretty good in Europa, get to a cup final and FA Cup, not, you know, whatever. If we actually want to achieve something, it's kind of like in your life, where you sort of get to a certain age and go, do you know what? I actually want to achieve something now. I actually want that job. I actually want that girl. I actually want that thing. And to do that, you've got to get rid of a couple of other things. Do you know what I mean? So if you want that girl and you want to marry that girl, sorry, you're going to have to stop going out with your mates every Friday and Saturday night. I know you love it, But you're going to have to cut that out if you want, you know. And what you find, as you well know, Cole, is when you're married, actually, it's brilliant. You know, you've got so much, you have so much security, and you know, you've won, if you like. Do you know what I mean? But you can't go out on a Friday and Saturday night with your mates, even though you'd love to. So you can't do the Europa on a Thursday and then win on a Sunday. You've got to let one of these things go.
Yeah. Well, as I say, I think it's a big summer. I think it's a big summer for us, and it's going to be an interesting season. You know, personally, I think top four isn't going to happen this year. I think it's going to be, you know, Liverpool and Arsenal, I think, will just pip those places on us. We have a massive game coming up, but we'll chat about that later. But as I was saying, you know, the big difference was, Steve, are the way we came back, you know, against Swansea, White Hart Lane. You know, it was a massive game. I said we were back talking about it, and we sort of had the feeling, oh, it's probably going to be one of these dodgy games that we'll probably just slip up on. But, you know, to go and win, and I know it was 3-1. I know they got a goal back later on, and obviously it was a bit of a scramble, great save by Lloris, but it was great to see us just get 3 points, and you know, a really good performance. Same team that played at Wembley, so I was delighted with that. And then again, going to QPR there on Saturday, like that was a massive game, Steve. And you know, the last couple of years playing QPR is always a tough place to go. You know, they're fighting for their lives, and to come away a game with 3 points, you know, after defeating the cup final was brilliant. So, you know, I think it's just got everybody upbeat. We can see positive things, you know, for the future. As I say, I'm really looking forward to see who this guy brings in the summer and who goes. And say we have a massive one this weekend. But I'm not overly worried, Steve. I don't think Champions League's the be-all and end-all this year. I think it's just about having a good season. And it would have been lovely to have won the cup. You know, it just would have took that pressure off. And let's see how we go from there.
Yeah, and I think whatever happens now for the rest of the season, it's been a damn sight better than last season and the season before. You know, we've had that day at Wembley, which was absolutely brilliant. We've had so many last minute goals, which has been great. We've beaten West Ham. And the last minute draw was also a good moment. And we've beaten Chelsea and Arsenal. In fact, we've taken 4 points off Arsenal, which is, you know, fantastic after losing 3 times last year to them. So, you know, 100 times better than last year. But, you know, we there's 10 games to go. And the way that, you know, the thing is what we always say, Carl, is if we can keep these guys fit, then I think we're all right. I mean, I don't think there's a problem with motivation now. You know, let me put it to you like this. And I am referring back to the Europa. You can roll your eyes if you want. But would you like to play? Because Fiorentina have got Roma. Okay, so say that would have been us. We would have played. We would have to play Thursday against Roma at home. Then go to Man United on Sunday. Then Roma next Thursday. And then Leicester at home. Now. Yeah. You know, or we've got Man United, a week to prepare for them, and then a week to prepare for Leicester. You know, what could have happened is Roma, you know, half decent result. Man United probably lose. Then off to Roma, get knocked out, and then a sloppy performance against Leicester. Or great chance, and I'm not saying we're going to get it, but we have got a great chance to get 6 points and keep going.
Definitely, and the next run of games, Steve, are very, very good for us.
Yeah,
you know, but you know, and United obviously got beat last night by Arsenal. Watch the game more so to see what United have been like.
I had a bet with an Arsenal guy today, and I said, I'd bet you £10 that one of the Man United players doesn't pass it directly to Kane with 20 minutes to go.
True.
You know, I'm not saying that Kane will score, but I will bet you £10 that he doesn't pass it to one of our players to get Kane through. He didn't take the bet, obviously. It's just so lucky, some of these sides. And even Man United the other week when Tim Krul passed it straight to Ashley Young. You know, when do these things ever happen to us?
I think it's a good time to be going to United. Obviously, you know, Di Maria got the red card last night. I think he's missing for Sunday. They've a couple of injury problems. They are poor at the back. You know, that was one thing about them. And I think going forward, if we're on our game, I think it actually suits us to be away from home sometimes. I think, you know, we have a massive chance of making this a hat-trick of wins at Old Trafford. And it would make a big statement. If we lose, you know, we go 6 points behind them. I think it's difficult to claw that back.
They've got a couple of tough fixtures, though, and we've got some winnable ones. So it's not all over.
That's it. It's not all over, but I think the biggest problem is it's Liverpool and Arsenal are more so than Man United, personally, in my eyes. But we just have to wait and see how it goes. But really looking forward to the game. Glad we're on live. It'd be nice to watch it on Mother's Day. So have to do Mother's Day on Saturday night now instead.
Yeah, you get away with it. That's good. Yeah. I mean, just touching on those Swansea games, we played really, really well against Swansea, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, there was some good goals. I was really pleased for Mason, who's getting a little bit of criticism. You know, they've got to remember, of course, we always say it's his first season, isn't it? But, you know, the side's looking good. And then with the QPR, you know, it's a win away from home. And, you know, the number of times, you know, we always say it, but, you know, the number of times Man United, you know, came to Spurs even. And after an hour, you're thinking, oh, you've got a really good chance here. And then Ronaldo flings himself to the floor. And, you know, bish, bash, bosh, we end up losing 4-0. You know, that's just the way that, you know, they always tended to do things. Yeah. And I can see a little bit of that in Spurs, not obviously with the big wins, like 4-0s, like they used to do, but certainly in terms of, you know, not playing that great, them having chances, but us taking our chances. And do you know what? The luck people talk about with Spurs, with Lloris making those saves. Sorry, no. Lloris is a goalkeeper. And if he's making saves, that's to do with football. Do you know what I mean? Peter Schmeichel is probably the best goalkeeper, certainly of my generation. Okay? Why is he the best goalkeeper? Well, it's not because the Man United defence were brilliant, is it? It's because Peter Schmeichel made absolutely brilliant world-class saves. And we can all remember his sort of stance whenever a player was clean through, he just spread himself, wouldn't we? And he almost jump. Yeah. Well, we saw that so many times. Well, the only reason is because Man United used to be, you know, let the other side used to have chances. And the number of times he saved them against Spurs as well. So, you know, that it's all to do with football. And we have got a brilliant goalkeeper there. So, you know, don't worry about, you know, oh, we were a bit lucky because Lloris made loads of saves. No, you know, that's what a goalkeeper is there to do. And, you know, and that is all about this new free-flowing Tottenham going forward. So, you know, it's all right. Anything else, Paul, before we move on to questions?
And obviously Harry Kane, you know, we need to shout out again. The young man is still doing the business. And he was fantastic on Saturday there. Great header. Very unlucky with a header before that. And what a cool finish, to round the goalkeeper and make it 2-1. And he's been so dangerous, and it's fantastic, you know, to see him keeping going. And, you know, he'll be a big danger against United there for us. And it's great to have him. You know, we just need to keep the guy obviously fit, because I know you've been doing a bit of Twitter about Addy and Facebook and things. You know, we lose Harry Kane, there's nothing really there, to come back into the team for us. So he's really important to us. But I just thought he was fantastic on Saturday. I love his celebration, Steve. You know, you could see the passion. He just he's like one of us being up on the stand, you know, the way he celebrates. I just love it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really worried if he does get injured. I'm not that worried because, you know, hopefully he'll be all right. But, you know, I've watched Soldado. I thought the pass in Fiorentina, I don't think it's an over-exaggeration to say, it's probably the worst pass I've ever seen in a football match. The way he passed it, the actual pass, the thought process going through his mind to actually do that. And I don't know if Adebayor would have stuck it in. I think if Soldado would have tripped over, the ball probably would have rolled past the goalkeeper and gone in. So I'm not saying that. What I say with regards to the Adebayor situation is that, listen, we've got 10 games left. And it reminds me of Sherwood last year. You know, the absolute hatred for this individual is very similar to Sherwood last year. But there's nothing you can do about it. You can't sell Adebayor now and get in a new striker. Yes, what he's done in the past has upset a hell of a lot of people. But we've got 10 games left. And what are we going to do as Spurs fans? Don't care about Adebayor. I don't want to do it for him. I don't want to give him any more chances. I've got no interest in doing that at all. But for me, as a Spurs fan, what do I want? And what I want is goals, and I want a presence up front, and I want someone who's half-decent football player. Obviously, the debate is whether or not he's lazy or not, which I think he has been lazy, but I don't think he's half as lazy as people bang on about. And at the same time, people say that Soldado tries. Well, I'm sorry, but you are watching a completely different player to me, because I haven't seen him try hardly ever. I don't know what that's about. And I like Soldado, and I feel sorry for Soldado a lot. But the way he strolls around up front, you're watching a completely different man. And I don't know if it's because it's just on telly that people have these different opinions, but my goodness, you know, that is really, really weird to me. And plus, especially watching Soldado in the last three games, you know, I know he's come on a sub, not the Fiorentina, but the other couple of games, he was dreadful in the cup final when he came on, gave us nothing. You know, imagine Adebayor coming on with 10 minutes to go. Would there be a little, you know, oh, okay, I hate this guy, but, you know, you never know, get it up to him, something might happen. Soldado, yeah. He just knew nothing's going to happen here.
I know.
And again, against Swansea, well, you know, there's a couple of chances Soldado had, just looked dreadful. So yeah. I just thought, at the moment, I thought, do you know what? I've had it with Soldado. For the rest of this season anyway, let's have Adebayor on the bench. So at least you've got something, you know. It might not be very much, but for me, it's a tiny bit more than Soldado. And people are telling me, well, no, Soldado's better than Adebayor. Sorry, I think you're looking at a different...
Yeah, well, Soldado for me...
Purely on footballing purposes, I think we'd be better with him on the bench. Go on, Carl.
Yeah, no, so for me, you know, out in Italy there, that just whenever it happened, to be honest with you, Steve, my heart just sunk, and I just said to myself... that, you know, the guy is just not going to do the business for us, because any other striker would have went himself that.
Yeah.
And it just showed, as you say, I feel sorry for him as well. Just the lack of confidence. He's just got nothing there. And it's not going to happen. It isn't going to happen. And as you say, Adebayor, personally, don't like the guy either now. But if you could just get him right, just to be there, but I can't see it happening, Steve. I think he's out of the, you know, he was nowhere to be seen for the cup final either. But, you know, I say, look, we've just got to keep Harry Kane fit, and fingers crossed he can do the biz, you know.
Yeah, I mean, just bear in mind that, you know, Wayne Rooney's handed in two transfer requests at Man United. You know, Suarez, for all the stuff he does, and other players at other clubs do all this stuff. And Spurs fans seem to have this sort of high moral ground, sort of going, oh no, you know, but... You know, Adebayor's upset a lot of people, you know, but I can't let it bother me too much. I just want to see him as a player. Anyway, moving on. Dave here, can you mention one of the greatest players, the great Dave Mackay? Never saw him live. Yeah. He is a legend. Everybody I speak to who's ever seen him said he's the greatest ever player. You know, for me, you know, my hero is Chris Waddle, but the best player I ever saw was Gazza, because Gazza just used to get the ball or demand the ball and then just run the game, literally run a football match. Apparently, yeah. Dave Mackay was even better than that. Cole?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I had to shout him out on the show as well. You know, very sad news. You know, a great round of applause for him there, you know, at the Swansea game. But, you know, a massive player for us, will go down, you know, an absolute legend, you know, of Spurs. And, you know, very sad news. But as you say, you know, we move on, and there's, you know, a lot of legends that are there. And that's the thing we always say as well. How many legends is there going to be in another 20, 30 years' time? You know, that's the difference in football. But, you know, very, very sad. And it was just great to see, you know, that it was at White Hart Lane, and, you know, he got a great round of applause on the night.
Yeah, absolutely. And talking of rounds of applause, on the ninth minute of the game against Leicester, definitely a round of applause for, obviously, our great friend Dave Jones, who raised a lot of money for Stacey, who unfortunately lost her battle with cancer. And she was 9 years old. And
You know, terrible news. Obviously, we were one of the first podcasts, I think, to do about Stacey. And you know, we give loads of shout out. I know there's so many people, like said Dan, you're mentioning about loads of people on Twitter, you know, doing so much fundraising, you know, raising money for this young girl trying to get her to America. But really, really sad news. Dan actually phoned me on Saturday morning and told me the news about it, and you know, desperate. So look, yep, everybody's tweeting it, getting it out there. This Leicester game, you know, let's get a massive round of applause for the young girl. And shocking news, you know, we've got kids ourselves, Steve, and you just can't imagine what it's like. And again, it puts a lot of things into perspective.
Yeah, give him a big hug.
Yeah.
Tom Parker asks, how is the marathon training going? What time are you looking for? About 4.5 hours would be nice. But you can donate if you just go to Virgin Giving, Steve Robinson. You'll see me there, and you can donate. That would be fantastic. And like every year, I do it. If you do donate, just send me a little tweet or a little message, and I'm sure I can sort something out, take you to a game, or you know, sort out something to do with Spurs for you, no problem at all. Just rattling through these then, Cole. We've got Dominic Sibley. Unlike previous summers, can we keep our big name players, Lloris, Eriksen, Jan or Kane?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, no problem. I think, you know, Harry Kane's definitely going to be there. I don't see any of these guys going in the summer. I really don't. I think, you know, we've had a decent season. We've got the Wembley. These guys can hopefully see what the manager's trying to implement. As I said earlier on the show, I believe it's a big summer. You know, 2-3 top class players. You know, big names. I actually don't even know if they'll be big names. It'll be the players that he wants to fit into the system.
It'll be silly money, won't it? It'll be silly money for any of those guys.
Yeah, yeah. I can see, you know, obviously there's still talk about the likes of a Schneiderlin. I would love to see him coming in. Obviously, we need another striker. You know,
did
to
you
go
see
along
Huntelaar
with Kane
tonight?
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome.
We've mentioned it before, you know. So, look, we've just got to see who he wants. And obviously, we've got the guy Mitchell in, who worked with him at Southampton. And obviously, they'll be working hard. So, it'll be interesting to see. I don't see any of our big names going. I really don't. The only one possibly could be maybe Vertonghen I think he's the one, you know, that would be possibly if there was a bid come in from, say, a Man United or, you know, so-called big clubs.
No, I don't think Man United. I think it's got to be Barcelona or one of the guys with the money, you know, in Europe.
Yeah, well, I hope so.
And I think 50 so. Million minimum.
Yeah, definitely.
You know,
definitely.
Chris Knights asks, is it time to start talking about who to sell in the summer, who might be putting in transfer requests? Obviously, you know, a little chat there about it.
I could see quite a few going, Steve.
Yeah.
I think, you know, there's Soldado, Paulinho, Kabul, Adebayor,
Kapu.
You know, you can sort of nearly see who this guy's looking to move on.
Yeah.
And I think you could see maybe 6-7 players leave and 2 or 3 good ones coming in. We're not expecting 5 or 6-7 new players again.
Yeah.
You know, 2 or 3, you know, certain players that he's going to want for the squad. And, you know, one great thing about him is he's given the youth, and we haven't mentioned tonight, Bentaleb is just getting stronger and stronger. I just love the guy. And we again said it last year, he got labelled underneath Sherwood, a lot of people were on his back, you know.
We told you.
I think he's been one of our best players this season.
I know. We said, didn't we? We said, you know, at the moment he's just learning his trade, and, you know, I reckon in a couple of years he'll be, you know, our best player, first thing on the team sheet. People said, no, he's just Sherwood's puppy dog and all this sort of rubbish.
Yeah.
Absolutely rubbish. Gemma Stubbles, our friend, said Lamella. How bad is he? In a word, Cole, how bad?
Well, I actually put it up because anybody that was listening to the show before we had our break, I said that he would come good in the new year. That was my big thing, and I backed him the whole way. Again, it's a bit like Soldado, Steve. I just can't see it. Don't see it. It's not going to happen. And it's soul destroying because I was delighted when I got this guy, but read so much about him. Look, he gives 100%, so he does, but I've never seen a guy give the ball away as much, and he just doesn't look dangerous to me. He doesn't give the killer pass. He doesn't,
I think there was a moment in the
goals.
Cup final, and I didn't really watch it back, but I glimpsed it the other day, and he got the ball, and he was about 40 yards out, and he ran forward, and he tapped it forward about 10 yards straight to a Chelsea player, no one in front of him, and he just was dribbling it forward. And he does that sort of stuff, and it just looks absolutely dreadful. So he's a definite not at the moment for me, but remembering he's young and it's his first season, and you never know. Chris Waddle, as I'm told many, many, many times, in his first season was awful for Spurs. And there's something in that, you know, with Lamella, although I think Waddle was a bit faster, but we'll see. Need to get him on the Guinness and the Scampion chips like Chris Waddle was. Timmy Ryan wants to talk about our defending. obviously that's to do with fullbacks. Are we happy with Dyer? And Dyer, big lad, isn't he, old Dyer?
Yeah, look, I was at the Arsenal game with you, and it's the first I'd seen him live, turn around to you. He really impressed me that day. He actually impressed me at Wembley. You know, he was up against Diego Costa, who is a handful. But look, he's got pace. He's strong. I think he'll get stronger for us. So, no, I'm really happy with him. You know, Walker's had a couple of wee dodgy incidents there over the last couple of games. But, you know, Walker's still a good player. Left back, I think, still needs to be sorted in a way. But I can't fault Danny Rose this year.
I think he's been great.
He's been great. So, you know, but there's still mistakes. There's always going to be mistakes in that defence, unfortunately. We've seen even against QPR, there was a couple of, you know, dodgy moments. But, you know, I think you can see maybe one. I would love to get another centre-half. I really do. You know, I think. And Yedlin, obviously, we've got Yedlin, this young guy in from America. So
I hope he's better than Walker, because I think Walker is really, really poor. You know, he looks like such a good footballer as well when he comes forward with it, but you know, he just gives the ball away so much. I mean, I like the way he gets involved. He's always involved, which is perhaps why he makes so many mistakes and gives the ball away so much, because he does have a lot of the ball. So you know, that's a good thing, I suppose.
I would love to see him, and I know he, I forget what game it was, I wouldn't mind seeing him on the right of midfield.
Why not,
maybe with Alexi Yedlin maybe behind him. Do you imagine them two bombing down the wings?
Yeah,
because you know, I think he could be great for us.
Yeah, and especially because Townsend, you know, obviously who I've crowed for, saying, you know, give him a chance, you know, and I don't think he's been very good. I think he's been all right. He's a lot better than he.
Really disappointing in the cup final he was, Steve.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought he was terrible. I think absolutely he's very terrible.
Yeah, you know,
but he scored a great goal against.
It's a hard position, you know, but you know, I don't think he's been that great. And, you know, possibly get him up there. But again, he's one of these guys who, you know, it's not a case of, you know, he's absolutely a brilliant player, what I've said before. What I'm saying is get behind these guys. You know, we can't sell them. We can't get rid of them. So we get behind them and, you know, we might get something rather than just booing them the whole time. You know, we're so good. But then again, we criticise Lamella and people like that. But, you know, Marcus Aurelius, would you consider a pod away day where you record at another pod studio with the other hosts? Yeah, I'd love to.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, I won't be able to, unless they all want to pay my flights over.
Yeah.
But certainly, it's funny. It's one thing. I know, obviously, the Hotspur America. No, great podcast.
Yeah, we go there, won't we, me and you, Carl?
Yeah, if those guys want to fly us over to America, you know, over to Boston there to meet the supporters club or Dallas, you know, we'll certainly come over. But I think I think me and Steve are both up for going on any show, and any of these guys want to come on ours, you know, it would be great.
Yeah, but the questions have got to be a lot more interesting than some of what they talk about. Terry Hill, Dyer or Fazio?
You'll be in trouble, Steve, if you go on them, you know.
Davis or Rose, Stambouli or Capoue or Paulinho? I don't rate Stambouli or Capoue has had his moments. Paulinho, I just don't get the guy. Just don't get how he can be a semi-finalist in the World Cup. I know he's a substitute, but you know his plea Bifo is so fantastic. And you know, I know I tweeted before the World Cup that I'm not sure about whether Paulinho is going to actually up his game. And our good friend Jason McGovern said, you know what, he's going to be fantastic. And I think that's what most people said. I said, well, we'll just see. And of course, he was dreadful. So it's a shame. And I know where Jason is coming from with that, because he should be. I just don't know what the guy's thinking. Dyer or Fazio? Fazio, for me, you know, he's got his qualities. But Dyer, I think he's a mountain. And again, I'm going to say it right now, I think a couple of years' time, Dyer will be the first name on the team sheet, along with Bentaleb, if they stay. Because I think he's got everything. And again, it's his first year, very young, and he's learning. Yeah. And my goodness, the criticism the guy getting for little things that he's doing wrong. Christ, you've got to make mistakes to learn. Davis or Rose? Definitely Rose. I think Davis is a definite B left back.
Agree.
Lee Tiltman says, are we better finishing seventh and having a season without the Europa League? We have talked about that. I personally don't like the Europa League at all, but a lot of people do love it. All I would say about that, just a couple more things, is they quote Bill Nicholson saying, you've got to be in Europe. I don't think Bill Nicholson was talking about the Europa League, because the UEFA Cup was a different competition back then. There was only about three or four rounds, and it was like the elite, because everybody else went into the Champions League, but, you know, it was only champions. And then it was like second down to fourth with the other teams. So it was all really top side.
You had the Cup Winners' Cup as well.
Yeah, you weren't like going out to Eastern Europe on six-hour flights on a Thursday night. So I think if Bill Nick was around now, he'd say, oh, do you know what? You know, I think we'll knock that on the head and just concentrate on Stoke at home on the Sunday and get our 3 points. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I think the big thing, and sorry, I know we've went over it before, it's just such a long format.
I know.
You know, to get, like, how many games did we play to get to that last 32?
Yeah.
Was it about 12, 14?
Yeah. And watching these games, how many games did you actually get, when you scored, did you actually leap off the sofa?
Not once, and to be honest with you, even when we went out on the Thursday night, I didn't even flinch. I didn't even get this. The only thing disappointed me was Soldado's stupid pass. Yeah. That was the only time I think I moved.
And I think that's it for the questions on Twitter. Anything more you want to say? I'm just going to check Facebook. Any other things you want to say there, mate?
No, I think we've covered most things. Obviously, Man United we've got coming up this weekend, which is massive. You know, really looking forward to it. It'd be great to beat them three times over there. So I've started to call it 3 Point Trafford. I know they call us, you know, 3 Point Lane for years. And I've quite a lot of Man United mates over here, so it's nice to be getting the digs in them. But really looking forward to the game. I just hope we turn up, because I was saying to a guy, a big Spurs fan that I know tonight, and you know, these are the games that we usually lose. But I sort of said that to myself about QPR. But usually the games that we're all going, you know, if we beat Man United, we're just levelling points with them and we're right in the mix. You know, we all get excited about it. We always lose them.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't think we've ever went on and actually won those games. So it would be nice. It would be nice because we've got a great run of games. Even though those Leicesters, the Burnleys, those teams coming up are tough.
Of course,
you know,
they are
real tough games as well. So,
Zach Gasnola has asked about conceding goals. We've talked about the defence already, and about game management and things like that. Andrew MacGyver has talked about our transfer policy with regards to youth and splashing the cash, and you know. I just think that we should focus on, we've said it quite a lot actually, instead of going for these Brazilians and Argentinians and the rest of it, go for these guys who are in the Premiership, who play week in, week out for their clubs. You know, I'm going to say it again, I've said it before, Ryan Shawcross. you know who Ryan Shawcross would be perfect for is Arsenal. He would be perfect for them, because a big, strong, strapping lad, captain for his club for 4 or 5 years, plays week in, week out, knows the Premiership like the back of his hand. And that's exactly what Arsenal need, rather than, you know, these sort of fancy Dan centre-backs. And I tell you what, I'd love it if we got him.
No way.
You don't like him. You want Colaccinino Bonibon or whatever they're called, all these guys.
No, I'll take other boys other than Ryan Shawcross, definitely.
Why? Arsenal hates him. We should love him.
That's your only reason for him. But I think you're right. I think there's Premiership players out there that we can. But this is what was said earlier. It'll be interesting to see who he goes for. And the big thing is, and we need to remember this when it happens, they mightn't be the biggest name in the world. But obviously him and the guy, is it Paul Mitchell?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, they're working on players for certain positions that we need. So it's going to be interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, and just one more from Andrew MacIver, who talks about reports tonight saying that Loris will not leave. Listen, Daniel Levy doesn't know. I would say any of these reports coming up or transfer rumours, the only person to ask is Daniel Levy, and even he doesn't know. So, all this, oh, they're going to make a bid, or they're thinking about this, or oh, there's this might happen. Absolute rubbish. It's all rubbish.
Yeah. No, look, the rumor mill will start, and obviously our top class players are going to be linked. You know, there'll be some kind of a rumor will come out about Harry Kane this summer. You know, it's bound to, if he keeps playing the way he's playing till the end of the season, there'll be rumors about him going to Man United or,
Oh, of
you
course
know,
so.
or going to Liverpool. You know, so
Because
it's going to happen.
if the back page on in the middle of June says Kane to Man United for 70 million, right? That paper automatically sells, a sixth more copies or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
They sell, thousands more copies because they've said that. And then when you look at the finer detail, it says a close source to the club says that they are considering a bid. Well, what does that mean? Like some reporter's gone up to, the chairman of Man United and said, "What about Harry Kane?" He said, "Well, I'll tell you what, we're considering a bid. Write that down and put that in your paper." Yeah, it's absolute rubbish. So
That's
it's
it.
all made
Don't
up. It's
listen
just
to
to sell
anything.
papers. And
Yeah.
when we get the facts, that's when we know. So
Yeah.
yeah, all right, mate.
Okay.
Good one. So
Well.
we sort of do these shows when we can. Busy man, Colin is a very busy man.
Yeah, I do. Trying to run two businesses, you know. But
Or the home
and the
home and the
home and
shop.
football and everything. Oh, too
Yeah.
much. But no, hopefully, because we had said Sundays, and it's definitely a night that we do want to try and get the shows out. Well, maybe, well, we'll see how Mother's Day goes this Sunday with
Yeah.
especially with Man United Spurs stuck in between it.
Yeah.
So maybe get it out Sunday night. If not, we'll definitely get it out as early as we can next week.
Yeah. All right. Brilliant. All right, mate. Come on, you Spurs.
Okay, come on, you Spurs.